answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
National security officials have told the president that the military is ready for any potential strikes as soon as this weekend. But as you noted, this timeline could be extended, and it's really important to highlight that no decision has been made. Sources also tell CBS News that Iran was discussed in the White House Situation Room yesterday, and we've learned all military forces deployed to the region are expected to be in place by mid-March. A second aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, is on its way as part of this significant military buildup that we've seen in the region. These latest internal discussions here at the White House come as the nuclear talks with Iran are still underway, these indirect negotiations. We saw the latest round earlier this week. They were described, you know, as largely positive, some progress made, even though the administration says they are still far apart on some of the big issues. Iran is expected to come back with another proposal in the next couple of weeks.
But it's rope-a-dope. It's the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. They just keep bouncing away to bounce back. They're not coming to the table, apparently, with anything substantive. And Donald Trump recognizes that game. And we are continuing to assemble for whatever is needed. And the reports are coming in from everywhere. The attack against Iran could be this weekend. Now, that's not to tell Iran anything they don't already suspect. But it's also not very clear one way or the other. Here's how it's reported by Axios, left-leaning publication. President Trump gave a 10-day timeline today. He said a 10-day timeline for deciding whether to continue diplomacy with Iran or order a military strike. And if we have such a strike, it's going to be a weeks-long campaign, no doubt. And yet the talks do still continue to some extent. He convened his advisors yesterday for a meeting on the crisis with Iran. He was briefed on the nuclear talks held earlier this week in Geneva. And they discussed what next. Trump has said today the talks went well. But Iran has to make a meaningful deal. Or in other words, in Trump's words, otherwise bad things will happen. I would not plan a trip to Tehran this weekend if I were you. Welcome aboard to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you. And when we're on the air, we are making sure that we're streaming video so you can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or you can go to Larry Connors USA Rumble Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later, both the audio and the video. So you can watch or listen if you have another time that works better for you, if you can't stay with us all the way through. And when you do, do me one small favor. Push share. Send it on to others. Friends, neighbors, family, even your enemies. Let them all get involved. These midterm elections coming up, I do not want you to take them for granted. I don't want you to kind of be laissez-faire about, well, I'm sure the Republicans will win it. I'm not so sure about that. We could lose the House. I don't think we'll lose the Senate, but if we lose the House and we have a logjam that Trump will get nothing done in his final 2 years, we're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later. And with Larry Connors USA, we're going to bring you news, analysis, opinion, and education. Before you leave this hour, you're going to have more knowledge than you do right now, I promise you. In our next hour, a legacy question, because this is the only thing the leftist knows to raise is a complaint against Trump that they think will stick. He's a racist. Why not play the race card all the time? And great news for the region and Boeing. That's still to come in our next hour. Later this hour, what happens in New York, that New York ripple can go all across the face of our nation. And I'm telling you, the shockwaves are beginning in New York City under the new Marxist mayor, Mondami. We will get into that. Our story behind the story today. In my pilot training, when I decided to switch from a single engine to a multi-engine license and the training, it almost ended in disaster. I'll have details for you in the story behind the story still to come. Now back to the issue of how we're beginning to build up. We have assembled the largest concentration of air power in the Middle East since the 2003 Iraqi invasion. And we also have two aircraft carriers. We've already had the Abraham Lincoln in the region. The Gerald R. Ford had been in the Caribbean kind of watching over narco activities. It is now headed toward the Strait of Gibraltar and then to move into the area to be closer to Iran. Two of them. The New York Times had noted that Patriot and THAAD missile defense systems had been thin in the theater. They have now been reinforced to protect the roughly 30,000 to 40,000 U.S. troops stationed across the region. We have U.S. forces all through that region. We're there to protect all of them. And if we make a move against Iran, we can expect numerous things to happen. I want you to get a view from it from outside the USA. I want you to listen to a former defense secretary in Australia.
If the Americans do strike, it's going to be comprehensive. They won't just be making the rubble bounce higher on the nuclear facilities. They will be doing things like going after the Iranian Navy, those ships which have the capacity to lay mines in the Straits of Hormuz. I think they'll also be going after the leadership of the Iranian Guards Force and perhaps even the police and intelligence and internal security command and control system. And so what that means, Danica, is it's going to be a broad strike. It's not just going to be against a handful of nuclear facilities. And I think that's why we're seeing the Americans now engaged in a very substantial build-up of military capability. They have for weeks been flying in stocks with heavy transport aircraft, for example. So this is not going to be trivial, and it's going to be quite broad in its focus, I think.
Australia's watching this, as the entire world is. You might think it's just us and Iran. It's not. It is the world and Iran. The Wall Street Journal again reporting that we've sent in additional F-35, F-22 stealth fighters, F-15s, F-16s, airborne command, regional control aircraft. Dozens of refueling tankers are all ready, and many of those will be coming out of Scott Air Force Base, no doubt, if they're not ready dispatched. Now, what could happen? Let's take the view of a British specialist on Iran.
Scenario number six is that Iran retaliates and using something called swarm tactics, in other words, masses of something, they're able to overcome the close-in defenses of U.S. warships and manage to sink a U.S. warship. And I remember one U.S. Navy captain telling me in the Gulf on board a warship, this was his nightmare. Now, they've got pretty good at close-in defense. They've, you know, an aircraft carrier doesn't just sail on its own. It's got destroyers, it's got all sorts of defensive means, and they've got cannons that can spit a huge amount of ammunition very fast to try and destroy things. But Iran has conducted a lot of exercises in asymmetric or unconventional warfare where it's looked at swarm techniques where they would launch not just dozens but hundreds of explosive drones picking on, say, one target.
Now, by the way, let me take a moment to remind you, one of the exercises Iran has done in the past, more than once, they attack and sunk a U.S. aircraft carrier. That was a war game. There was a craft they were hitting. It was plywood. It was a wooden aircraft carrier. No defense back at the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, but they blew this wooden aircraft carrier out of the water, sunk it, and they say, look what we did. If that's their skill, and they believe that that is accomplishment and would hold up against our current U.S. aircraft carrier and support group, they're going to be in for a rude shock. But the point being here, if by chance they do sink not a carrier but any U.S. ship, therein rises another issue.
If they are able to sink a warship, that would be complete humiliation for the United States. Imagine as well if U.S. sailors and Marines were captured and paraded in Iran. I mean, this would be a nightmare similar to what happened to Jimmy Carter's presidency when he tried to rescue the captured U.S. diplomats who Iran had seized, and there was an abortive mission to rescue them in 1980 that ended in disaster.
Yeah.
Scenario number seven, and this is the one that has really got people jittery in the region. The regime collapsed. And what follows is chaos, with ethnic tensions coming up, bubbling up to the surface. The Kurds, the Baluchis, the Azerbaijanis, all looking after their own interests. So fissures that have been really papered over till now by the Islamic Republic starting to emerge, but also people getting their hands on weapons, scores being settled, the whole country descending into absolute murderous chaos.
And that is a concern. The Jimmy Carter thing he mentioned, if you recall, we were trying to fly in some helicopters to go in to rescue our people trapped in the embassy that they'd taken over. And there were crashes and deaths. It was a mission that failed almost from the beginning. We were not properly equipped and trained and ready for it. But the issue here is not just Iran, the devil we know and who might come in to replace it, but what they have been working on and what we're really concerned. And the UN Atomic Watchdog Agency does not even know what Iran does have.
You are very right in saying that we have returned to Iran. We have been conducting some inspections, but not to the facilities that were attacked and which are crucial, because those host the most of the material, the highly enriched uranium that Iran still has and which has been causing some degree of concern in the international community because of its proliferation potential. So we have to go back to that. But I believe that as the conversation goes, this would be part, if you want, a requisite for the deal to gel and to be there. There cannot be a deal if the IAEA is not able to verify. And I am encouraged by what I heard from the foreign minister of Iran telling me that they would be ready to provide the full transparency and the full verification that we need. Of course, we are not there yet.
We're not there yet. He's more optimistic than me and than most. It is back to the trust but verify attitude. They will tell you they'll get rid of them. Are you going to trust them or are you going to verify? Verify. I know you've heard the saying, hey, if you can make it in New York City, you can make it anywhere. Let's rephrase that. What's happening in New York City could fall across as a shadow on our land because they elected a Marxist. And as one of his proposals, he's got to figure out a way to find more money. Well, of course, you turn to taxes and even raiding the New York City workers' pension funds.
Would rather do is ensure that they remain as they are so that the city can be on firm financial footing. However, in order to get to this point of closing the gap on both this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, we are forced to raid the rainy day fund, the retiree health benefits trust reserve, and to increase property taxes across these other years.
And he knew this. Mondami knew this before he went in and took office. He knew what the budget default was. But of course, he was not going to campaign on, we're going to raid your pension fund. Going to suck it dry if they allow him. And again, what he's doing will have ripple effects across the nation because of this Marxist attitude. We're already seeing it in some communities. More idiots voting for more Marxists who supposedly are going to do everything right. They opened one of their stores the other day in New York City offering free food. People were lined up for blocks to get in. They were out of food pretty quickly. And people got PO'd, as rightly so. They're going to open another store and try to do it as a, you know, a small payment. That's still not going to work. They're trying to replace capitalism, free enterprise, with Marxism. communism. And it all works as we've always pointed out. Margaret Thatcher, I think, said it directly. It's all great until you run out of other people's money. I want you to listen to this Fox report on Mondami.
New York's commie mayor, Mondani, urging state lawmakers in Albany to push a new 2% tax hike. Excuse me. It's a 2 percentage point tax hike. It's actually a 52% increase in taxes.
I saw that.
On millionaires, arguing higher taxes on the wealthy are the only way to close the city's $12 billion budget gap.
The most straightforward ways of dealing with this are structural measures, whether it be the taxation of the wealthiest New Yorkers, increasing taxes on the most profitable corporations, as well as by ending the drain, the relationship between the city and the state. We want to create a new era of politics where it's not just a debate about how to distribute the same pie, but how we can actually grow that same pie.
No, you're not. No, you're not. This is as stupid as it gets. The pie's going to be the same size. Here's what you're going to do. We're going to cut it into 20 pieces. So it looks like it's a bigger pie. Oh, you'll get a piece, but it's going to be much smaller than if you'd done sixth of a pie, obviously. You're not going to increase the pie. You're just going to cut down what you're going to serve the people. Mondami's concern.
It is of immense concern to our administration to ensure that each and every person who calls New York City home continues to be able to do so in the future. And what I've heard from New Yorkers, even New Yorkers who are employed in the financial services sector, New Yorkers who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars at the least, is that the costs of living in our city are so staggering that they push even that level of income to the brink. And that specifically we see with childcare, where if a family has...
I understand. I'm running out of time, but I just want to get this point in. But thank you, and sorry to cut you off. But the Citizens Budget Commission has stated that if New York State and the city had the same share of U.S. millionaires as did in 2022, as it did in 2010, the state would have $10.7 billion more in personal income tax revenue, and the city $2.5 billion more if we had maintained the same share of millionaires. So,
but you didn't. You chased them out. You're tracing more out. I want you to contrast that with what good news is coming for St. Louis and the story behind the story. Almost a deadly training pilot accident. Mine, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40, EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, and you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
People, keep on learning. Soldiers, keep on warring.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, one of the big stories at 6, Boeing is returning its defense headquarters back to St. Louis after nearly a decade away. The announcement today hit hard on a phrase time and time again. St. Louis was referred to as Fighterland USA for all the military might that is produced at the 3 St. Louis Boeing plants. And First Alert 4's Morgan Harris is live from the main Boeing plant at Lambert Airport. Hey, Morgan.
Hey, Corey. Yes, we are live from Boeing near Lambert Airport. After more than a decade away, Boeing's defense headquarters will be returning to St. Louis. Along with this major announcement, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth spoke to hundreds of Boeing employees in our area as a part of his Arsenal of Freedom tour. He says it's the hard hats inside of Boeing that prop up the helmets of our American warfighters. Hegseth thanked the 18,000 employees in the St. Louis area for their precision and skill, sharing his excitement about Boeing's move from the D.C. area to Fighterland USA.
Fighterland USA. I like it. That's a report from Channel 4 in St. Louis. And this is great news for all of Boeing and the ripple effects across the region. I'm really happy for my Boeing fans and friends like Jim Nauman out at Boeing. Jim's always responsible for putting together the annual Army-Navy game fest that we have at the MAC, encouraging, you know, good rivalry, but it's strong. But again, these men and women in our community, and think of all the ancillary programs and businesses built out of Boeing. You need restaurants, you need car stations with gas, you need this and that. You collapse Boeing, and it did hurt when they pulled out a lot of it. Now it's all going to be coming back because they realize in Virginia, it ain't working. You look at the Boeing in St. Louis itself directly, then you look at St. Charles, Missouri as part of it, Muscoota, Illinois, all brought into this. Between all of them producing everything from the F-18 Super Hornet, F-15 Eagle II, T-78 Red Hawk Trainer, the MQ-25 Stingray Unmanned Refueler, the JDAM, the Joint Direct Attack Munitions in the St. Charles area, and others. All of these are good and great for our nation and for our economy. There's a difference. There's the difference right there in trying to make sure your nation is secure. Not just producing the weapons, but providing the JOBs that are available and high paying at that. Again, you take that and the idea of free enterprise against the Marxist view, it's clear to see what happens. Back to New York Mondami and his attitude that we're going to take care of everybody, we're going to provide all this housing, especially for the illegals. In the meantime, his own citizens are suffering, his true New York citizens. Carolyn Leavitt pointed that out in the White House briefing.
First of all, the president is obviously committed to deporting illegal aliens from our country and those who are not lawfully present in the United States, which he has done at a record pace, which has led to the falling of rents, as I pointed out in my opening remarks. Secondly, the president has recently announced that he is fighting for a ban on institutional investors and Wall Street billionaire corporations from buying up single-family homes that should be lived in his opinion, by American families. We know this is going to have a remarkable impact on the housing market and on prices and supply and demand for the American consumer and the American family. And then thirdly, the president is also expediting permitting as fast as we possibly can to build more homes, to increase supply, to obviously bring down the cost of home ownership and purchasing homes for the American people. And then also, as I mentioned as well, we do see mortgage rates falling. So all of this is combining to make housing more affordable in this country. There's still a lot more to do. The president is still digging his way out of the mess that was created by Joe Biden's administration and jacking up mortgage rates and jacking up housing costs. But we do see very positive trends in this direction. And the president wants the United States to be a nation of owners, not renters. He wants families to live in homes, not institutions and big corporations.
And have an opportunity for free education that really educates, not indoctrinates. John Gordon is a Georgia attorney legal analyst, and he's been watching a lot of this happen. He's been a Trump-endorsed Republican candidate previously. There's a recent lawsuit, he points out, filed by an honors graduate who claimed she was allowed to finish high school, gain admission to college, despite being unable to read. Unable to read. They broke it down in the lawsuit, the claims: negligence, educational malpractice, fraud. But let's go back to still another source. There was a piece published in The Federalist yesterday by a guest I tried to book, but he couldn't make it for today, Nicholas Giordano. He is a full-time tenured professor of political science. And he said, I have students that cannot pass the basic U.S. citizenship test. May I repeat that? Yes. Students that cannot even pass the basic U.S. citizenship test. He points out all this happening right now is not an accident. It's an education system that abandoned the core mission years ago and continues. Equity, of course, replacing merit. We all know that. He points out some of the latest national education data. Listen carefully here, please. Listen. Barely 25% of American students can read, write, or do math at their grade level. The third grade level, well, you don't expect them to be able to read at high school or college level, but they cannot even do the third grade level. One specific, only 13% of eighth graders performed at or above a proficient level in American history. 13% at or above. Only 22% in civics. And he raises the question, in any other industry, no one would tolerate these results. Why do we do it? Well, because we're pushing indoctrination. He said even those numbers are redefining what proficient means. For example, students in the New York State perform below the national average. But the New York School Board of Regents, as he points out, in their infinite wisdom to find things and make it look better, they lowered the standards to reflect what would be normal. You were failing. Oh, look, it's rated on a curve. Everybody comes up. He said, this spring semester has just begun, and out of nearly 200 students in my class, only a handful passed a basic citizenship exam. And I've taught this for 20 years, and it just gets worse. All they had to do is answer the basics. He said many still could not answer 5 or even 6 of 10 questions correctly. Today, most students get only 1 or 2. These are not difficult. These are fundamentals of American self-government. Which branch of government has the power to declare war? Which amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures? Name one of the writers of the Federalist Papers. So they can't. Schools are using, in his words, emotion rather than knowledge to shape political beliefs and manufacture outrage. He said, real-world controversies like ICE enforcement are exactly what educators should use to teach federalism, intergovernment relations, the limits of state, local power, how the Supreme Court fits in. But he said, most of my students who are anti-ICE cannot pass the basic citizenship exam. And he points to the other issue that we all know is there. And this is a shame because I've known teachers that were so dedicated to their students, to educating them, and they've done a great job. Most of us as teachers, we look back and really appreciate what they added to our lives. And I know many of them are hurting because they can't do it anymore, and they just shut up and go on. And just, Johnny's been here in the third grade for 3 years now. We've got to pass him. He's shaving. He's got to move on to the eighth grade. But he says, more troubling are schools that plant the seeds of disdain for this country. This country, which is making everything possible for these students. Yank some of these kids up by the scruff of their neck, drop them down in Nigeria, Zambia or somewhere, and then how do you like it now? What would you like to have that you don't have? Take some of these girls, drop them into Taliban-controlled territory, where they're not even going to be allowed to go to school. How do you like that? We have political activists in this nation that say we need to do better, but they don't get incensed like they do, as they should. And he said, instead of demanding we defund law enforcement and duly enacted laws, we need to ask about taxpayers, should they continue funding a failing public education system? And his final thought sums it up. Students cannot defend what they don't know, and a nation that cannot or will not teach children how its own government works is a nation that will not be able to govern itself for much longer. Again, that's Nicholas Giordano, a full-time tenured professor, and a piece he wrote for The Federalist yesterday. And every bit of it is true. And you know it. Coming up, our story behind the story. In my early pilot training, when I was switching to multi-engine training, near disaster.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40, EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Flying a multi-engine airplane can open up a world of adventure, from reliable cross-country travel to new career options. This also presents new challenges, since the speeds and altitudes are higher, the systems are more complicated, and the emergency scenarios take more practice.
Yeah, they take more practice, and if you do it wrong, literally, the plane could be upside down and you're into the ground. I have multiple stories about getting my pilot's license in the beginning and then advancing. But I will also make a clarification point for you. As you know, a great friend of mine is retired Marine Colonel Jack Jackson, who was a fighter pilot in Vietnam, and we later became partners in a couple planes. And sometimes, from time to time, he might be flying a jet on a trip for somebody that needs a jet for their purpose, but they want a second pilot on board, and he'll ask me to join them. I'm not, quote, jet certified, but I'm capable of handling anything that would come up. The jet certification issue deals with the insurance, obviously. So we still have a way to work around that. But the point being, he has a pilot's license, a real pilot's license. He also was a Boeing test pilot for years, taking Harrier jets as they came off the run of the product of the jets off of the Boeing line. He'd take them up and put them through all kinds of maneuvers to make sure they were good and safe for a young, inexperienced pilot to take over. Now, again, even those pilots aren't, quote, inexperienced, but to learn to handle the Harrier jet was something new. In fact, he got featured in a National Geographic special one time about Harrier jets. Jack Jackson had more time in a Harrier jet than anyone in the world at that point. So he and I became partners in a plane. And I was really thankful to learn from him, but I'm trying to make a point that saying I have a pilot's license and saying Jack Jackson has a pilot's license, this is me like saying I have a driver's license and the top NASCAR or Indy 500 driver, he really has a license. I just have a license to drive around. They have a real license. They know what they're doing. So when you go to train, you go through basic ground school before you ever get in the plane, and then you're flying with an instructor. And eventually you're going to do a solo, and it's going to be a single-engine plane. I've never flown a high-wing plane. All the ones I've had are low-wing, Beechcraft, a couple others like that. And my plan from the very beginning was to learn to fly that effectively and then get what is called the instrument ticket. because that's where a lot of pilots get into trouble. Even if they're a great pilot, they get in some bad weather and they can't really read the instruments properly. And if you can't see anything, like suddenly there's a sheet across the windshield, you can see nothing, you got to go into your instruments and hopefully you'll be right and okay. And then I went from a single engine plane to a more complicated single engine plane, the VTOL Bonanza. I know you've seen them, and there was a period of time when they first came out, they were crashing fairly often, pilot error, because they were overstressing the tail. So they reinforced the tail, so then pilots were overstressing the wings, and they were breaking apart, falling to the ground. And this issue of, you know, being able to rely on your instruments can still only help you so far. There was a more than qualified pilot and his wife that went down the other day. They were flying a VTOL plane and apparently had an oil leak. And it's spraying across the windshield and he couldn't see anything. He might as well have had a blanket over the windshield, but at that point, the instruments weren't going to do him that much good. And as even as qualified as he was, he went down. But the big issue about pilots who suddenly get into a cloud or a thunderstorm of some type that pops up, they don't know how to read their instruments. They're almost doomed for failure. So I wanted to get the pilot's license, which I did. Then I moved right to the instrument instruction landing. I wanted that as well, that training. And then I wanted to go to multi-engine. That would be a twin engine or more, two or more engines for your plane. And there are a lot of learning curves on each time you advance to another plane. Things you need to be taught, things you thought you knew, but suddenly, as you heard in that opening, things are happening at a faster pace. You've always got to be ahead of the curve. You've got to be ahead of the plane. I remember one time coming in, even in a single-engine plane at Spirit, and they suddenly wanted me to jump ahead of planes scheduled to come in behind me, but they were getting too close. They just simply asked, can you expedite your landing? My first response is, no way in hell, but I didn't say anything. My instructor got on and said, we've got it. And he took controls, and we made some abrupt movements, got us in down on the ground safely, out of the way, no interruption for the other planes. I would not have been capable at that point of doing it. And I'll share something else with you, even in a single-engine plane. When you take off, there are levers controlling your prop, your fuel, things of this nature. We were flying one time, just lifted off out of Spirit. And I'm reaching over to pull back the throttle now that we've achieved an altitude. And he says in the headphones to me kind of calmly, he said, it's going to get pretty quiet in here. I looked at him and said, oh, yeah, okay. I thought, what's he mean by that? I continued to pull the throttle back. He said, it's going to get really quiet in here. I said, okay. Is it a joke or something? I don't know. I continued to pull it back, and he put his hand over top of mine to stop it. As he said, it's going to get deadly quiet in here. I was reaching for what I thought was the prop to curb the rotation of the prop and the power. I was pulling back the fuel. I was about to strangle the fuel supply. Reinforced in my mind, look and verify before you touch and verify again while you're touching. If he hadn't been on board, I would have gone down and what they would have come down to, pilot error. He didn't run out of fuel. He just cut it off. What an idiot. Dead. Could be written on my tombstone because of idiocy. But then moving into a twin-engine plane, as much as I wanted to, it was a little scary, but at the same time, I was going to do it. And I started some of the training in the St. Louis area at Parks when they were running an aviation plant program. But because of the weather and the availability of planes, I ended up having to go down to Texas to finish it up. And almost ended up in a heap of burning wreckage. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Some controls that look the same may have slightly different functions that are unique to multi-engine airplanes. The propeller control is one example. Takeoff and cruise positions are the same, but notice there is now a position called feather. This position is used when an engine fails.
Yep. As he pointed out, some of those instruments you're reaching for, the control levers, they look different, they should feel different, and you're not paying attention, you could pull the wrong one. I began my twin-engine training, as I said, in the St. Louis area. But I couldn't finish it up, so I ended up going down to Texas at a school down there to wrap it up. And I'm flying a Piper Seneca. Twin-engine, six-seat aircraft. They've been out since 1971. A good plane, but this was a training plane. Compression could be low, always burning oil, never could be sure if it's going to perform the way you expected and wanted it to. And in twin-engine training, the most dangerous part is losing an engine on takeoff. If you don't quickly correct what's going on, feather the engine that's no longer producing power, there's additional drag, and it will flip that plane upside down, and you're into the ground. So I've gone through all the training. I'm ready for that. I have my inspector show up, and we're taking off. And I'd already told him, keep your hands off everything. You treat them like they've never been in a plane before. And I know his hand is down between our seats where he can control the fuel. I know he's going to shut down one of the engines or starve it to some extent. So we're coming up, we're taking off, I lift the gear. As soon as the gear starts coming up, I've lost one of the engines. Now, it's hard to tell which engine you've lost right away, but I can tell the loss of power. So I try to get it, you have to get your foot on the right, correct paddle to avoid the yaw, and then find which engine it is, identify it, shut the fuel, feather it so it will not continue to be a drag, and watch the power on the other. I had it identified, I thought I had it right, but I suddenly realized it's shifting. So I started second-guessing myself. We're talking about something that's happening all within 5 to 6 seconds, maybe. So I re-identified, and I start to move it, and he stopped me. He said, I've got the plane. Now, I've told part of this to you before, but the stress point here is, when he says, I've got the plane, I turn loose of everything. He's in full charge. And I'm looking at him to my right. And I can see beyond his shoulder blades of grass. And I swear I could count every blade of grass next to the runway. That's how low we were when this was happening. He got control of it. We got up the altitude. I had some additional flight training scheduled that day to get my ticket. And I was too bummed out. I just said, I'm fried for the day. We'll take it up in a month or so. And I go back thinking, I could never put my family in a plane like this because I'm not ready for it. The guy that owned the airport training school said, I thought you were going to put my plane in the ground. I said, I thought so too. And I told him what happened. And he got upset with the check ride instructor, who was a commercial airline pilot. He said he knows better than that. The bottom line is, this was a training plane. It burned oil, as I said. High performance might not come when you need it. And you don't practice that at that true takeoff location. You do that, as I pointed out before, you go up to maybe 5,000 feet and say that 3,000 feet is the ground. Make sure you don't go below 3,000 feet. So you've got a lot of margin for error. And we didn't have that opportunity at that altitude. And if we don't correct it, it will be upside down and into the ground. So when I went back, I ended up getting the same check ride instructor. And I reinforce, you don't touch anything. Of course he's going to do it. I'm ready to raise the gear. We're taking off. I'm reaching for the gear to pull it up. And I don't. I continue. We're no longer at 300 feet where it should have already been up. We're at 500 feet. It definitely should be up. We're approaching 700 feet. And he says, are you going to raise the landing gear? And I said, well, I am. When I'm ready, I'm pilot in command, which is true. As soon as I decide to lift the gear, he shuts off the engine, exactly as I thought. But now we're at a safer altitude. Got at least 800 feet below us to correct everything. I perform it, walk away and get my ticket, and I felt great. But that stresses it. When you're learning a new plane, you've got to get ahead of it. And multi-engine training is one of those things that does turn a lot of pilots away. It's a shame because multi-engine is great. I made one flight one time I never should have in a single-engine plane. I made a flight from St. Louis down to the Florida coast at night in a single-engine plane, which is stupid because if I lost that plane, I've got to put it down somewhere, and there's nothing but forest for a lot of the mileage. Twin-engine, you can continue to move forward on that one engine with proper training. I truly enjoy flying. Don't get to do as much as I used to. And if you're thinking about it, I encourage it. It's costly. But the bottom line is, if you're going to learn to fly, get an instrument ticket as well so you can avoid and make sure you can fly even in your midst of clouds and thunderstorms or whatever that are really blocking everything but your instruments. And then when you're ready to step into twin engine, you'll know it. Yeah, it came that close. That's another story behind the story. Lining up one of two different ones for tomorrow. And which one is it? I haven't decided yet. But I'll have it for you this time tomorrow. We still have a second hour of Larry Connors USA to come. And do not forget our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.